everyone. This is the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast. You are about to listen to my mom. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you like it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.
Hey, friend, and welcome to the Stay at Home Mom, Yeah Right podcast. My name is Sarah Smith, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Melanie Hendricks. She's not just a dedicated mom, but also an eloquent writer. She's the voice and vision behind Dopamine on the Rocks, a blog that delves deep into the intricacies of mental health, aiming to shed light and dispel myths. Her personal journey took a significant turn when, after welcoming her third child, she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Rather than letting this define her, Melanie used it as a catalyst for change. She recognized a prevalent hesitation in the Caribbean community to discuss mental health, often overshadowed by societal misconceptions. Determined to shift this narrative, Melanie's blog serves as a platform for open dialogue, blending earnest discussions with a hint of humor. Through her blog, Melanie invites readers to embark on a collective journey, emphasizing the power of shared stories and mutual support in navigating life's challenges. Welcome to my podcast, Melanie. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. I am super, super excited to be here today. And kudos to you for being my second podcast ever.
I feel so honored. Thank you so much. And you are joining us from the beautiful island of Tortola. Thank you so much for coming on today. So you're a busy mom and a busy blogger. What has this time post-COVID restrictions been like for you and your family?
To be honest, I am a homebody. So when we were on lockdown, I was like, yes. I get to be home and be with my babies and cook and bake and all those things. And to be honest, like the shift to going back to that made me a little sad because now I'm back to the regular routine of a 9 to 5. I don't work a 9 to 5. I work to 8 to 5 in finance at our local hotel and marina in the company. And, you know, I would say COVID kind of spoiled me in a sense because I got used to being with the kids for all that time with them and doing the mommy things. I know that I'm back to work. It's like I miss it. You know, all that time, you know, I don't get to spend with my kids again. And it's like, what can I say? I just miss it. I miss being home, being able to write, being able to work from home. And that's really something that I'm working towards to get back to.
I totally get it. It is hard. And then it's like always, I feel like as a mom, we're just always on the go. It's like, go, 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 go. But like the restrictions had it. So everybody was home. So it was so nice to be able to be home with the family. After you gave birth to your third child, you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Can you talk about this time?
Oh, yeah. I would say that moment was, I would say it was both a blessing and a curse, but more so a blessing. So at that time, I had just resigned from a corporate post that I had. I work in finance and I was working with at the community college. And I resigned from that post. I wanted to, one, spend some more time with my kids, a new baby on the way. I was pregnant when I resigned. And I also wanted to go into full-time entrepreneurship. And I would say, not taking care of myself and spending that time to take care of me over the years had an impact on me that I didn't really know about. So I was like a walking ticking time bomb. And then coupled with COVID and then having a new baby and then trying to run my business full time, there was just a point where everything just kind of imploded. And I had my first manic episode. And that was very difficult, especially being in the Afro-Caribbean community. Topics like these are things that are not discussed. I always say it's one of those things that we are taught to take to our grave. And when I started that transition into, okay, being diagnosed and learning how to live with it, I didn't really have much support around me. Yes, my family was there. I had doctors and everything, but I needed desperately someone who can tell me, who has lived the experience. What is it like? What am I supposed to look forward to? You know, what is it like being navigating, you know, everyday life with this new condition? And sadly, no one was open to talk about it. So I reached out to my therapist and my psychiatrist and say, hey, is there anyone I could talk to? I have some questions about medication. Is medication having an effect on me, you know, in this way? And they can't explain, you know, really, they had to do their own research. And yes, there were people. Yes, there were people available. Well, not available, who on the island who had the same condition, but were afraid to speak about it. So me being me, I like to say I am the fire starter of the family. I'm the rebel. I was like, you know what? If no one's going to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it because it's important. And what I discovered when I shared my first blog post and I shared my story, I was said it was bittersweet. Sweet because the outreach and the love that I got from my community was amazing, but bittersweet because I'm like, there are people within my contacts that I could have speak to, you know, when I was going through that rough period. And, you know, it was like amazing to me that, wow, I had people in my phone that I could reach out to. And because of this stigma and how it's viewed in society, they were so afraid to share. And had I known, I would have reached out to them and say, hey, you know, girl, hey, Sarah, you know, I'm having a little difficult time. Have you experienced this? You know, I didn't have that luxury. But fortunately, now that I'm speaking about it and others are speaking about it, you know, we can have that dialogue.
Oh, that's so great. What kind of stigmas have you faced in the Caribbean community?
I think is the first one is you're labeled as crazy. And it's one of those things that, you know, we hear these words and we throw them around, bipolar and schizophrenia and all these things. But we say these things, but we don't really know what they mean, and our only reference to what, you know, to give us an idea of what this is like is media, the news, and celebrities. And I'm like, sometimes what is put out there is very negative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people associate you with that. So I could give a story where I'm a calendar junkie. So if it's not on my calendar, I take my time very serious. Like if it's not on my calendar, let me tell you, I will forget. So I had a doctor's appointment. It was at a certain time. And we work here on island time, which is annoying. So you set an appointment for 1 o'clock. You're not going to be seen by the doctor by 2, 3 o'clock, which annoys me. Yeah. So I see your eyes. So it's like you have other things to do and you're stuck here in the office. And I was very upset about that. I went by a friend to kind of cool off. And, you know, I went to his barbershop and they've never seen, I'm this happy-go-lucky person, and they've never really seen me that upset. So I just wanted to, you know what, let me get my hair cut. At the time, I shaved the side of my head and, you know, kind of get back to that feel-good energy. And he was like, you know, want Melanie, you know? I ain't seen you like this before. You okay? I said, yeah, I'm just, you know, told him what he was. He said, oh, you just been a little bit bipolar today. And I was like, let me breathe. Breathe, mm-hmm. Melanie. And I took that opportunity to educate him about it because he didn't know that I was bipolar. And two, it's like, it's just one of these things you hear people say, you know, when somebody just has like a switching their emotions really quick, they can automatically label you as bipolar or you crazy or something wrong with you. And it's like, you're just being a human being and I'm allowed to be human and express my emotions in all the ways. And I don't have to be rude about it, but I'm human and I'm allowed to be upset sometimes. So I did, after I talked to him and say, hey, you know, that's not really cool. You know, and I explained to him that, you know, there could be someone out there going through something. They're just having a bad, and you made that comment. And they could be bipolar. And I said, hey, by the way, yes, I am bipolar. And he was like, you know, a little embarrassed. He didn't mean it. But it's like, it's one of those things where we say these things, but we don't really know what they are. And it kind of helps perpetuate those negative stigmas and misinformation about anything. It doesn't have to be about mental health or whatnot, but just anything.
I'm happy you were able to educate him. tell me the impact that bipolar disorder has had on your life.
I would say that, like I said, it's a blessing in disguise for me. And I really, I am diagnosed, I appreciate it. Because I always knew that I was different. My mind was very different. I always knew that my mind worked very different from everyone else. And now that I had my diagnosis, I was like, okay, now I understand why I think the way I do, why I'm so creative, why I'm prone to certain things. But being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, yes, there's that stigma that you have to deal with and that little bit of ignorance. Family don't really understand. Like I said, if I am upset about something or I have an emotional reaction to something, it's like they go to that first, which is annoying. And they forget that, hey, I'm a whole and complete human being. You know, that doesn't define me. But also I look at the experience as positive because when we talk about these conditions, it's very not very negative light. And what I'm trying to teach people here is find a positive in it. And being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I was able to find my passion, you know, by writing. Yes, I knew I could write well, but I didn't know how good I was able to write. So exercising that creativity in me, and it forced me to step outside of myself, come out of this box that I was in, because I already felt like I was in a box, and now I was put into another box, and I was like, no, there's too many boxes. Too many boxes. Let me get out of it and rediscover who I am. And it gave me an opportunity to really dive deep into who Melanie is. And the Melanie that you see before you today is her true, authentic self. And I'm more leaning into that.
Love that. How has bipolar disorder changed the way you parent?
I am definitely more aware of my emotions, realizing that because of the fluctuation in the neurotransmitters in my brain, like I try to be hyper aware of how I speak to my kids and, you know, my partner and whatnot, because it's like, before I would like snap. Mm-hmm. If I come home and the dishes are dirty, like after a long day, I would go off. I would get super angry or super emotional about these things. So being aware of that. And it definitely allowed me to have a different level of conversation with my children. And I actually sat down with my oldest and I said, you know, asked her, how do you think I am as a parent? And we have that space where she can talk honestly and openly without consequences, you know, so as long as you're being respectful.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, you're a good mom, man, but just is like your temper sometimes. And I didn't realize how much, you know, so that it really makes me more aware of how I am with them. And when I'm getting upset, it's like I take space to breathe, you know, taking time to have self-care days where I just have that time to myself to kind of recalibrate everything within my body so I don't like blow up at the least little thing and, you know, come back to them fresh and kind. Because sometimes they get on your nerves and you're not so kind.
Right. I hear that. What are some suggestions or tips you might offer to other parents out there who are facing the same mental health challenge?
Know that you're not alone. There are other people out there. And it's like, no matter what you've been through, I can guarantee that there's someone else out there that who has been through it. And it's all about finding your tribe. And sometimes your tribe exists outside of the ones that you're born into. And not many people will understand what you're going through. But once you have your tribe and your community, that really helps. And therapy, therapy is something that I definitely push for, you know, having that space to talk about what you're going through, and there is no judgment, you know, they understand, you get to, you know, clear your head and clear your space and learn more about yourself. Is like, for me, learning more about yourself is always a positive. So they're finding your tribe, therapy, and you know what, taking that time for yourself to just be. Remember that you're human. You know, it, like I said, my bipolar disorder is a part of me. It doesn't define me. It's just a small part of me.
Absolutely. On Instagram, you said that your first manic episode was incredible. Can you talk more about that?
Oh, yes. So I know what you're referring to. So a friend of mine, she actually hosted, so the video that you're talking about is a friend of mine hosted a health and wellness expo, and I had the opportunity to speak about my experience. So I am not gonna lie, when you are manic, it feels amazing. It feels amazing. So when you're bipolar, you exist on two sides of, you know, of the coin. You're either very, very happy, you feel really, really, really good. And that's what I experienced when I was manic. I didn't see any need to sleep. You know, I could operate on 2-3 hours of sleep and I was good for the next day, full of energy. Yep, that's like your own internal coffee, you know, you feel powerful. I felt like I tapped into like this shared consciousness, like I was tapped into the world in a different way. I felt limitless. I felt like a god. Like, imagine your best self times 100, times 1,000, like all those feel good hormones and, you know, chemicals running through your body. You feel awesome. Like, there wasn't a problem during that time that I couldn't fix.
And how often might a manic episode occur?
It all depends on the person. Like, for me, like I said, it was my first. That was my first time. I do think that I had, I would say, hypomania afterwards here and there, but it wasn't as intense. It all depends on your treatment. Everyone is different. Some people, it could be once in a while. For me, it was my first. I never experienced before. Versus, I have a friend who has multiple episodes for the year, and it can last different time periods. So for me, when my family stepped in, I was just on the cusp of my first day. So they caught it real quick. I was able to get treatment. But for some people, it's for an extended period of time. It could be for days. It could be for months, you know. And it all depends on your treatment. Are you sticking to your treatment, your support system around you? So it all depends on the individual.
How have you helped your family and friends dispel the myths when it comes to mental health challenges, in particular bipolar disorder?
Definitely, I would say having more conversations about it and encouraging them to do their own research, because during that period of time, like, everybody's giving them information, you know, this, and they're not properly informed about it. So it's like misinformation on top of misinformation. It does like create a whole mess. So one, communicating how I'm feeling, because like I said, they're only experiencing it from the outside. They don't understand what I'm dealing with on the inside. So communicating, hey, this is how I'm feeling, and encouraging them to do their own research, like ask questions. Don't just go with what somebody says or a friend says, or you hear on TV, or you hear from the doctor. Even the doctor, challenge the doctor. You know, one of the things that I told my partner when he was my, the word escapes me right now, but he was basically responsible for, you know, medical decisions on my behalf. And I'm like, challenge the doctor. I want you to do the research. And when they tell you certain things, you're supposed to say, hey, well, tell me about this, tell me about that. Especially when you're in a space where you are mentally unwell and you are not thinking in a way that is in your best interest. You want to make sure that the people around you are informed and are equipped with the information that they can make certain decisions on your behalf that doesn't cause further damage.
What would be your suggestions to others who have loved ones facing mental health challenges?
I would say it's hard on the family and it's going to create new traumas for you. So taking the time to take care of yourself too. And as I said, if you can go to a therapist or talk to somebody about it, make sure that you're taking care of them because it is taxing on the family. And patience, understanding, creating that room for open communication. And like I said, you can't go wrong when you're educating yourself with the proper information and tools that you need to respond.
Can you talk about the importance of self-care for those with mental challenges?
Oh, gosh. First and foremost, I would say sleeping, especially when you're manic and bipolar, sometimes you feel like there's no need to sleep. And the other flip side, too, is when you come down from your mania, you enter into that depressive state, like having an anchor to pull you back out of that, because that's a very dark space. When I came down from my mania and I was in my depressive state, like, trust me, that was very hard. And I contemplated suicide and I had to find something to live for. And for me, that was my kids. I would say surround yourself with positive people who understand you. It doesn't make sense that there's a saying that it doesn't make sense you pull people up a hill they don't want to climb. So if you find that the people around you don't necessarily understand you, don't get you, and it's like an always upward hill battle to kind of get them to understand what's going on in your world, find a space, find your safe space, find your tribe. That's very therapeutic in itself. I don't think people really understand how important a good, solid, healthy community is, even if it's just one or two friends, even if it's just that one friend. That's a part of your self-care. Somebody that you can be yourself with and there's no judgment. Taking your self-care there is like, for me, it's a Saturday. Saturday is my self-care day. I use that day to take care of myself. Take your medication if you need to. If you're prescribed medication, take your medication. If that one doesn't work well for you, well, talk to your doctor about it, find an alternative. If you go to a therapist and that therapist isn't your right fit, date around and find a therapist that fits. I find that people who go to therapy, sometimes they don't meet their right match and they give up on therapy. And I will say therapy is very important to your self-care. You don't have to be have a mental health condition to go to therapy. It's like your mental gym. And I always encourage people to go to therapy. It's your mental gym.
You said your day is Saturday. What exactly do you do for self-care?
Therapy is number one on my list. And I take that time to do whatever I want to do. So it could be that I go to the spa or I do go get my nails done. I take that time to dress up. So that's my day. You want to see me all fly, just know on Saturday, you're going to see me all decked out. I'm going to be on 150 on Saturday. I take time to dress up, do my makeup, spend time with my friends. I don't cook, I don't clean unless I feel like it. It all depends on what I want to do, what I feel I need within that time. Sometimes I just need a nap.
I love it. Is there anything you want my audience to know about bipolar disorder that I have not asked you?
Wow. I would say that it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, we are familiar with the fluctuations in your emotions, but I would say that there is a beauty in it as well. For me, a bipolar mind, or I would say a neurodivergent mind, It's very incredible. For me, I'm very creative. That part of my brain is very lit up, I would say, because of my condition. You know, I look for creative ways to solve problems. I call it abstract thinking. And my view of the world is very different and it's very beautiful. And I get to execute that, whether it's in drawing or in my business there. And that's appreciated by the people around me. I would say it helps me to learn very quickly. Like when I'm interested in a topic, when I'm hyper fixated on a topic, trust me, like I'm all in it. Like I am consumed by it. I obsess over it. So it's like, that really helps too, because when you're meeting new people, you're networking and you're engaging with people, I have a plethora of information that I can access, you know, from because of my little hyperfixations here and there in different things. So there's a beauty of it. I actually have a blog post about, you know, your superpowers based on your mental health condition. So that's something to definitely look out for. And I also dive deeper into how on the positive side of bipolar disorder as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Melanie, for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come on my podcast. And I hope everyone will check out her blog, Dopamine on the Rocks. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
This is great. Thank you.
You have just listened to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast with my mom. I hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.